What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Special guest today, right off the bat, Davey Sats, goalie master. How we doing?
I want to say, Rob, I feel like I haven't seen you in forever, but we did actually see each other this week. We saw Friday. I went to the city. I broke the curse of not going out. Mm-hmm. Went to the city for my friend's birthday, called up Rob, and we had a
couple. Wow.
Yeah, we had some wings, had a good time. There was some golf on, Bob, so you really missed a doozy.
Did Davey have his mask on?
And yes, I can confirm.
An Anaheim Ducks mask? Or
it was
a
New Jersey Devils 1985 Christmas tree edition.
Okay.
Only the best. But yeah, it was good to actually see you in person. That was exciting.
Yeah, well, now a couple days later, Davey, it feels like we're already halfway done with the Stanley Cup final here. Tampa Bay in dramatic fashion. And, Bob, I know we were giving John Cooper kind of a hard time last program, but I think he successfully played some mind games here because Steven Stamkos returned briefly, scored, and then left the game. So not really sure what to make of this moving forward, but I think it was nice little gamesmanship by the Lightning and, of course, Stamkos. I mean, that lethal shot, man. He played like 6 minutes, had a goal bar down. Great, great fashion there.
Icing on the cake, he scores a goal. The bench goes crazy. I mean, he receives the pass beautifully. He explodes to the goal, and then he puts it top shelf on Khudobin, who looked out of position. At least that's what Eddie Olczyk and Boucher said on the broadcast. So he gets the goal. He contributes. And we don't have to talk about, can we imagine what happens if the Tampa Bay Lightning win a Stanley Cup and Steven Stamkos doesn't play a game? Now at least he's part of the story. I do think, though, that the plan was for him to play the whole game, and he got nicked up, dinged up somewhere along the line and couldn't go the rest of the way. But what a story. He scores a goal, and that'll go down in lore. We'll be talking about that as part of this series, if the Lightning win, down the line.
Well, the thing for me is I agree with you, Rob. I pretty much knew he was going to play right away as soon as someone asks him if Stamkos will be taking warm-ups. Cooper doesn't say yes or no. He says he's inching closer. So to me, that was like, okay, he's going to take the warm-ups. I think that first shift, he just, he hadn't played in since February, really, a game. So I think he was just, going out of his mind there. He got the goal. And I agree with you, though. He definitely got a little nicked up, which is going to be one of those things where when the series ends, we're going to find out that he's got, he had his spleen removed or something crazy where he was like, I had to do so much to play. Because yesterday he said, I've been working through a lot. So I'm wondering what this is going to be when it's all said and done.
Well, thank God you're not a doctor, Davey, with that medical diagnosis there. I will eat my words if that is the case at the end of the series, but wow, what a prediction. I think this is just interesting, though, because now we have game 4 and 5 in back-to-back fashion Friday and Saturday. Obviously, you felt right from the first shift of that game that Tampa was in control. They weren't going to lose that game. I mean, it was clear as day. But now the back-to-back is always a little bit of a weird situation because if Tampa Bay wins another one, it feels like this series is pretty much well and over, especially if Sagan continues to miss wide-open empty nets game after game. So I think that this is definitely the Bolts' control now. They kind of control their own destiny. But one thing I'm interested to hear from you, Davey, if the Stars do, and they've shown this before, they have resiliency. I know you like them to win the Cup. If they do get back in the fight here on Friday night, do you almost feel like that benefits them the rest of the way because of the back-to-back format?
I definitely think it does. And also, this is one of those things where goalies don't play back-to-backs anymore, but you have to figure in this game either way, no matter who wins tomorrow, Friday, that Khudobin's going to play both games and so is Vasilevskiy. There's no doubt Vasilevskiy's starting both games. I think the Stars gave Ottinger play yesterday because, hey, the game's out of hand. We need Khudobin for that game 4. And people are saying, Ottinger deserves a chance to start one of these games. It's a Stanley Cup final. Like, you're riding the guy who got you there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if the Stars lose tomorrow, who they start in game 5. But I think Vasilevskiy and Khudobin into their nets for the rest.
Can the Stars, if they want to win a game, can they stop with the penalties? They cannot put the Tampa Bay Lightning on the power play. The Stars have done this from the beginning of the playoffs, take penalty after penalty. They did it against the Calgary Flames. They did it against Vegas. I mean, that's all they've done is they took penalties against the Avalanche. They've overcome. Can they just play a tight game without any penalties, a clean sheet for the most part, and then be able to look at the scoreboard and say, okay, well, at least, win, lose, or draw, we didn't take dumb penalties.
What's funny about this is that I feel, Bob, that they need to stay out of the box first and foremost. But a weird thing is a lot of the most penalized teams in the league actually go on deep runs. This is kind of the way they play. And I would counter by saying if they can kill off one of those early penalties that they infamously take in these games, that can shift the momentum in their direction. But they just have to capitalize this time. They can't be missing good opportunities. We saw it a couple series ago. They're always kind of cashing out in different sorts of ways, but they're not doing that right now. They didn't do that in game three. So we'll have to see how they respond, Bob, but I'm just not encouraged. Number one, by the amount of times they're in the box, especially after the Lightning fixed their power play, boom, erupted. You can't put them on the man advantage anymore. You try your best not to, or find a way to stop them on the power play. And then two, it more comes down to if this is the point now where their scoring dries up, I don't think that I put my chips on Tyler Seguin's side of the table. I had him in DFS last night because I'm like, this is the game he's going to bounce back. And then he missed a wide open net. So it's a little frustrating to see, I'm sure even more from Stars fans. But if I was a betting man, I would not be putting my chips, even if the price is right, Bob, on this Dallas team to come back.
Well, as you mentioned, the problem with the power plays is everything's going to catch up to you and even out eventually. They were getting lucky, really, with killing all these penalties. They had shorthanded goals the past couple of series. But this Tampa Bay offense is different than all these other teams, including Colorado, who had numerous injuries. But to me, I agree with you. Tyler Seguin, what does he have, two goals in the entire playoffs? Like, it's pretty amazing the fact that they've actually gotten this far with the contributions, so little as they've gotten from, you know, the top line hasn't been as consistent. But the big thing to me last night was the Stars didn't have Como and I think what Faxa, so like that checking line that every game they start those guys every single game and they set the tone. They didn't have them last night and it was very physical, but they got outplayed and got beat pretty badly, especially with the bodies. So they kind of need those guys.
So are we going to see a quick wipe them up series where by Monday we're going to be talking about how the Stanley Cup was finished in about 8 days, or are we going to talk about a heavyweight championship round game 6 and 7, which I thought going into the series we would see? And I think that's how Dallas wants to get to that point, wants to get to those championship rounds, that seventh game, that late in the series, and be able to land the blow. But based off what I'm seeing these last two games, it's really difficult, and I don't want to overreact, but it's really difficult to see this series going to 6 and 7.
Well, I think it's hard because we've already seen so many unsung heroes for the Stars this postseason, Kivi Ranta, et cetera, right? So it's like, who's going to step up in this game and get that big goal? Now, if certainly they can do it. I'm not saying the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to go flat out here. Certainly, even if Tampa wins on Friday, it might be hard to win again on Saturday in a back-to-back quick turnaround fashion. So I don't think this series is going to end this weekend, or at least I hope not from a casual fan standpoint. But I do think that this, again, just to kind of put a bow on this, it does benefit Tampa Bay big time. I think getting their captain back, albeit for 6 minutes, was huge for them mentally. And now, again, this does set up a situation over the weekend where Stamkos, I can't see him playing both of these games, Friday and Saturday, but you're going to get more posturing, more gamesmanship out of John Cooper about hinting, hey, is Stamkos playing Friday? Is he playing Saturday? How long is it going to be? Very hard to game plan against that if you're the Dallas Stars.
Well, the thing with Stamkos is he was able to sit on the bench because it was a complete blowout. And we don't know what's going to happen moving forward, Davey. But here's the deal with the Stars. If they can get the next game, and then they have that Saturday back-to-back, boy, it'll be interesting. I'm really rooting for the Stars to even this thing up. I just, again, looking on the ice, it's tough to see it.
Well, just going back to Stamkos real quick, I think that he wasn't going to play no matter what the score was, but he stays on the bench for that, you know, moral support. And also, one of the announcers mentioned this, if the Lightning took a penalty, you know, like a too many men or something, he could serve it so they could have that extra body to do that. But I think the Stars are going to tie this thing up. They've every time in the playoffs, Khudobin, to me, he's like, nothing phases him, you know, he has a bad game, whatever. But this is also be interesting because the Stars, this is the first time they're trailing since the first round. I mean, it seems like forever ago, even though it was only last month, but they haven't trailed in a series since the Calgary Flames. And when they were down 2-1, they won 3 games in a row. They scored, you know, there was 3-0 in the first 2 minutes of the game, and they scored 7 straight goals. So I do not think this team's going away easily. I think it's going at least 6.
Okay. Robbie, who's your Conn Smythe winner right now? Is it Hedman?
No.
Vasilevsky.
No, it's like what I said 2 rounds ago. Kucherov, man. This guy, he's playing totally unleashed. At every shift, he's noticeable. He's contributing on the score sheet now. He passed Braden Point for most points in the playoffs a few games ago. So it's definitely Kucherov. Look, Hedman's played fantastic. Vasi has been the most consistent player in DFS. But Nick Kucherov, we're seeing this player absolutely elevate his game. He's playing two ways now, too. So there's really no reason for anyone to even be criticizing him whatsoever. This is his team right now. And Bob, honestly, as much as I like Davey's prediction with it, the Stars get back in this thing, I think if I'm recommending people to either gamble on this series or play DFS over the weekend, I cannot in my right mind recommend putting anybody for Dallas Stars in your lineup other than maybe Kivi Ranta or some value play in Joe Pavelski. And doubling down on that, betting-wise, I just can't take the Stars right now. I'm worried what you said, Davey. They've never trailed in a series before. I think this is the adversity that might put them to bed. And Rick Bowness, he's rallied these troops so many times in the postseason, but I'm just not seeing this unless Tyler Seguin finally starts to put the puck in the back of the net again.
I know. I mean, it's wild that he's gone this long without a goal. Davey, are you taking Kucherov? I'll let you respond to Robbie, and then I'm going to pull up the prices, actually, and see what the prices are for a game four and heading into the weekend. Who's your Conn Smythe winner? And to me, God, Hedman's been so good, but Kucherov has got a lot of quiet points and is on the score sheet every night, seemingly. So I can go with him no problem also.
I think it has to be Victor Hedman. I mean, the guy is, 11, 10 goals as a defenseman in the playoffs? He's done everything. How many minutes does he play? He does things defensively. But the fact that he's, their leading goal scorer, one behind? I mean, Kucherov, yes, he's been great. He was playing hurt. He stepped in without Stamkos at the point. But I think Victor Hedman's hand this thing to him. No matter if Kucherov could have a hat trick in game 6 or 7, Hedman's going to get this thing.
So price-wise, I know it's nice to kind of go chalk here, but I think when you look at the Lightning, even as favorites, I'm taking them for sure in game 4. I would love to see a good bounce-back performance from the Stars, but either way, I think the Bolts win one of these next 2 games, so I wouldn't go back-to-back on the Stars. I mean, that would be simply sensational. If they had Ben Bishop even ready to go in one of those games, it would be a different story, Davey. Do you think that the Ben Bishop factor at all is something that we're considering here? Or has that ship sailed and he's not going to suit up the rest of the way?
That ship has definitely sailed. I mean, you saw what happened when they threw him in a game that, they didn't need to win it, but they could have, won the series, I think, or it was either 3-0, 3-1 or 3 against Colorado. He clearly wasn't ready to play. I mean, I don't know if that was him saying he wanted to play or they just thought, hey, we need a jolt because he lost a game. But I was actually joking on the call before this. We were talking about the buyout window, which opens tomorrow. I said, imagine the Stars before game 4, they buy out Ben Bishop. Obviously, it's not going to happen, but the way this guy was playing when he came in, he's in street clothes. He can't play. He can't even back up. There's no point in even us talking about him coming back, or there shouldn't be.
Yeah, we're going to move on from that. Listen, you never know with Rick Bowness, considering he threw him out there between the pipes against the Avalanche, right? And it went, to hell in a handbasket. Was that the Avalanche or the Golden Knights? I forget.
Avalanche.
Avalanche.
Yes.
Okay, so here are the prices for a Friday night, 8 p.m. game. Pretty consistent what they've been. Dallas plus 150, Tampa Bay minus 160. Here's the thing with this game. Obviously, there's going to be an overreaction. People are going to jump on Tampa. It's a high price, minus 160. Take a small little shekel, put it on Dallas. Hopefully they even up the series. I know it's really difficult to do that based on what you've seen on the ice, but you know what? Take Dallas if you're going to bet anything because Tampa's too big of a price. And, if you're a hockey fan, you want to root for a deep series. So hopefully they could even it up at 2 and Dallas can win the game. But the prices have been consistent throughout. I mean, Tampa's been a minus 150, minus 160 favorite. And, listen, Dallas sprung the upset in game 1. They can do it here in game 4. It's going to be a tough bet to take because, again, I keep saying it, your eyes are telling you that Dallas can't keep up with Tampa.
Well, I think you're right. You have to go with Dallas tomorrow. Everything, the price is there. It's just the fact that I wouldn't necessarily say the first game was an upset. I mean, they were playing well, very well going in. But, yes, they were unfavored. Tomorrow, I think – The money's there with Dallas. They've responded in the playoffs when they've needed to. So I would say yes. And like you said, who wants the series to be over in 3 days? It seems like it just, as you said, it started, what, 2 days ago, and it could be over real quick. So let's throw the money on Dallas, and let's root for them to extend this thing.
I'm taking Tampa Friday. I'm taking Dallas Saturday. It's been a weird playoffs from everything I've seen. How much weirder would it be if we see Tampa get a 3-1 lead in the series and then Dallas finally break through and put up a lot of goals on Saturday night?
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective also. Anything else on the Stanley Cup final? Because I want to tee Davey up with some free agency stuff. We haven't spoken to him in a while. I know the listeners, they're texting me. They're tweeting me, where's Davey? Davey's on a Zoom press conference. That's where Davey is. Davey's been on a Zoom press conference for the last 3 months talking to these coaches and writing the stories. So anything else on the Cup final before we move it ahead? Robbie?
One last thing here. I was reading a story yesterday kind of from inside the bubble for the past like 2 months now. And I have to say, like, credit to everybody that's lasted this long, whether Dallas bows out early or not. It sounds like a real grind to be there. I personally can't imagine doing something like that. So not only the players, the staff, and the NHL staff. I mean, what an absolute grind show to make this thing even happen.
Davey, how would you have fared in the bubble? Would you have enjoyed the bubble, Davey?
Probably for the first 2 days and then been upset. Like, I wouldn't have been able to go anywhere. So
yeah,
I would have been freaking out. But I don't know. I feel like they're all just like zombies at this point. You wake up, you do the same thing every day, the same food, the same this. It's Groundhog's Day.
70 days in the bubble. 70 days in the bubble. The same old routine. Groundhog Day exactly is the way it is. So, yes, let's take a moment. Thank the NHL staff folks that are out there. The players, I can't even imagine being a player because – the fact they're accustomed to their lifestyle, they're creatures of habit. They have their kids and their wives and their homes and all the things, their practice facilities, and now you're just dropped in the bubble. I mean, it is an incredible feat, and it is a – we're not just saying this. We're not lapdogs for the NHL. Everyone has said it. It's very clear. It is a huge accomplishment that they're awarding the Stanley Cup this year.
And if Tampa Bay finally breaks through, sweeps the back-to-back here, wins the Cup, I will be so happy to see that core group lift the cup. I'll be happy for Kevin Shattenkirk, for John Cooper, everybody else for the Bolts. And honestly, finally, Davey, it would just be so nice to get the monkey off their back, finally get that cup, and then they're perennial contenders legitimately every year without any playoff worries.
It will be great, but Steven Stamkos won't be lifting the cup because his gallbladder or his spleen has just been removed. So let's remember that.
I feel great for Cooper because Cooper has had this hex on him. There's been some bad, bad losses and bad things that have happened to that franchise. And he easily, if he didn't have a more patient owner, he easily could have been let go last year. And it would have been the wrong decision. But based off of what happened with Columbus, like, there are a lot of owners in every sport that would have just cut the cord with John Cooper and moved on. So I'd love to see it for John Cooper, Stamkos, who chipped in. And by the way, Kucherov has now – there was always that storyline around Kucherov. He's not a big game player. He can't keep his cool. He's a wild man. Yeah, he grips the stick too tight. That's all out the window now also. Win or lose, that's out the window.
Well, you mentioned Cooper, the owners. I mean, this is a team that in the last 6 years, they're two wins away from being the four Stanley Cup finals. They lost two series, you know, in two seven-game series in the conference final. You're right. He could have, and they had leads in both of them. He could have, the owners easily could have let him go. He's one of the best coaches in the NHL. There was talk last year that they weren't going to give him a contract extension until they saw what they did in the playoffs, and then they lost. That would have been crazy. They let him go, but they made a great decision keeping him. He's one of the best in the NHL.
All right, goalie master, let's turn the page here. Potential UFA goalies. I have an article that came out today just kind of breaking down who's the best from an analytics standpoint, potential UFA. I have to say, though, Khudobin, Holtby, Markstrom, I mean, this is a really interesting year for goalies specifically, Davey. What do you think, just gut reaction, some of the best landing spots for these guys are?
Well, I was working on a story like of free agent goalies that hasn't run yet, but I'm trying to – some of the teams that need goalies the most, I think the Sharks to me are like the number one team. I think they're going to buy out Martin Jones. Even if they don't, they need a goalie. So I think that, hey, you know, they're not – I wouldn't call them a rebuilding team. They had a bad year last year, but they had injuries. They were, you know, a few wins from the Cup final the previous year. So I think a guy like Hopi, he could end up there, San Jose. It's a spot where – to me, the number one spot is the Sharks. The Blackhawks are also a team that I don't think Crawford will remain with them. I mean, they might not be as close to the Cup, but if you had to ask me, I'd say the Sharks, and I think the Sabres too. Those and Blackhawks are the three teams that like need a starting goalie.
Okay, so Crawford, that's actually an interesting one because we didn't touch on this any programs previously about Corey Crawford. He, you know, credit to him for coming back, overcoming some of those injuries. Let's just say, for hypothetical sake, that those injuries are kind of behind him and he can be a viable 1A, 1B kind of in rotation, Davey. Do you see, like, one landing spot for him that would make sense? Or are you just kind of saying that – because Corey Crawford, he can still play. There's no question about that. He can still return fantasy value. He can return DFS value. There's absolutely no question in my mind about that. But what would be the right fit for a guy – you know, is it a Buffalo or is that like hanging him out to dry? Like, how far are you going here with Corey Crawford making an immediate impact on a potentially new team?
That would be Buffalo too far out to dry. I think for Corey Crawford, the two perfect teams would be Washington and Philadelphia. Figure both of them need a backup to mentor like a young goalie. If Brian Elliott doesn't stay with the Flyers, you know, you can have him back up Carter Hart, Samsonov in Washington. Crawford's a proven winner. I think Philadelphia, Washington's perfect for him. He doesn't have to play 60 games. He's on a team that has a chance to win the Cup again. There's a young goalie behind him, or in front of him, rather. So I think those two teams are perfect for him.
I like that Crawford to Washington. That does seem like that would make a lot of sense, right, Robbie? I mean, I see you nodding also. I hadn't heard that or thought about that, but that makes sense because you got Samsonov there, if that's who you're going to go with. And then you have the vet in Crawford who proved, you know, he can make saves. I mean, he can do what he has to do. I mean, if he has a little bit of a better defense in front of him, and he's a big-time goalie in big-time games, playoff games and whatnot, I like that.
Now, I have to bring up Jacob Markstrom here. This player, Davey, had really – I mean, there were so many games that we came on the air the next day and said, wow, they would have lost that game if it weren't for Markstrom. I mean, that dates back to early regular season with this Canucks team. Interestingly enough, the rookie Thatcher Demko kind of stepped up big time against the Golden Knights in a few games. I'm not using that as any credible sample size. I think it's imperative that the Canucks re-sign Markstrom. Are you seeing any scenario in which Jim Benning lets him walk?
Well, first of all, Jacob Markstrom was fourth in Vezina voting. I don't know if most people know that because usually, you know, we only hear the top three finalists, but Markstrom was fourth. He definitely played like it. He deserved to be in the conversation. To me, there's no chance that they don't re-sign him, even though they have some of the young core and they want to re-sign, you know, Toffoli and some of these other guys. Markstrom, they need him badly, and they'll do whatever. They'll trade other guys or they'll do what it takes. He's not going anywhere.
Now, for Holtby, I know you said San Jose. I'm just a little concerned here. Martin Jones didn't have the track record that Holtby did. But just didn't fare well in San Jose whatsoever. There were a few stretches where he looked good. He had a decent playoffs one year. That's all well and good, but San Jose's got a pretty solid defensive group, right, Davey? So if you take Braden Holtby, you put him there, are you concerned about his past two regular seasons? Or with Holtby, does he have such a good track record that you're not really caring about that in fantasy?
He's had such a good track record, but also I kind of feel like he just, you know, he won the Cup in Washington. He knows his time is done. Like, what, he had nothing to prove there. It just seemed like the past few seasons, his just head just wasn't there or whatnot. So San Jose will be good for him. I think even the Oilers, if the Oilers want a goalie, he's a Canadian guy. He could go there and help them because we know their defense and their goalie have been mainly the issues, but that might be another spot for him.
What do you think about these teams I'm going to throw out there? Will there be a goalie change or how do you see it playing out? Carolina, Edmonton was another team I was going to bring up. Koskinen and Mike Smith just can't cut the mustard, right? Calgary, what are they doing with their goalie scenario? Cam Talbot, I mean, is he a long-term solution there, right? And Toronto, do you see Toronto making a move with Freddie Anderson? I like Freddie Anderson, but I'm hearing whispers that maybe it's time for a goalie change there. So, Davey, you know, I'm throwing those teams out there. Where's your head, Robbie? Where's your head on those teams?
Well, Edmonton and Calgary, I think they'll have different starters next year. You know, Mike Smith and Cam Talbot, they flopped those two teams, and neither one did particularly well in either place. Those two teams definitely need goalies. I think that Toronto I had on my list of possible backup, but I don't think Anderson's going anywhere. And also, you know, Jack Campbell, he played well for them. So if anything, they'll probably get – they wouldn't get a guy like a Crawford or like a goalie who, you know, they could get like a guy like a Thomas Greiss who, hey, he's a backup and he'll play. But if someone gets hurt, he can slide in there. But I don't think Frederick Anderson's going anywhere. He's not the problem in Toronto. He's not the reason they haven't won a playoff series.
No, Freddie's got to stay. I mean, and that team needs him. I can't see them making too many moves. I think the most likely thing for Toronto is they bring in one of those top three, top four defense type of guys, Dumba, Pietrangelo, et cetera. They get rid of one of those forwards that Dubas locked up to a long-term deal. That's kind of what I'm seeing there. Again, yeah, you're right. Freddie was not the reason they were losing. Bob, for those Edmonton and Calgary, I'm just a little bit nervous what they're going to do because not only do they both need a goalie, but you could argue that they also need a defenseman. Calgary was a real banged up at that position this year. Giordano might be over the hill. And then for Edmonton, holy moly. I mean, come on. Klefbom and Nurse, I'm so tired of it from fantasy, from real hockey. I mean, it's just not getting it done. So they need to address that position as well. Now, they do have some exciting prospects, but again, we're seeing it with defensemen and goalies. They take longer to develop. They take longer to get NHL ready. You can't just throw these guys into the mix anymore. And that's where I worry from an Edmonton and a Calgary perspective. Even if they do, even if Edmonton goes out there, spends money for Braden Holtby, I mean, Holtby's going to have to realize he's going to face upwards of 45, 50 shots coming against him every single night. And I just do not. I'm a big Braden Holtby guy. I just do not have the faith that that's going to be a match made in heaven. Whereas I see if him going to San Jose, that's a lot more comfortable of a situation for me for the next few seasons. Same thing with Calgary. If he goes there, I'm just not seeing it. I think Calgary is a slightly better defense core right now than Edmonton, but we're talking, you know, maybe 25th, 26th overall in the whole NHL.
Yeah, I agree with what you said there, but Holtby, to me, he's the kind of guy that he likes facing a lot of shots, but you're right. I don't think he wants to see 50 shots a game down 3-0 and knowing, hey, Connor McDavid's going to have to score and Leon Draisaitl, I'm going to need these guys. But I think that those Canadian teams, the Oilers and Flames, they're going to get a new number one starter. You know, you have to figure Lehner's going to be re-signed. I would think Khudobin, I still don't think he's a starter, but you have to figure he'll get – Stars keep him. So there's only a handful of goalies really that you'd say, hey, you know, he's a starter we need. And maybe Marc-Andre Fleury is one. Maybe the Vegas, if they buy him out or move on from him, maybe he goes to Edmonton.
So we just came up with a recurring segment for as long as Fantasy on Ice continues, whenever free agency rolls around, Davey, we're going to get you on. And this is the segment. It's Goalie Carousel with Carnival Davey. How do you like that, Davey? Where you start placing the goalies. In fact, reach out to Sean Rourke. I kind of want this to be a story on NHL.com, you know? Goalie Carousel with Carnival Davey. You're at the controls. You're moving the levers, right? People are flying around the carnival, the carousel, and there you have it.
I think we just need some music, some carnival music to rival the old original Goalie Master music.
Do you want me to start singing the step-by-step theme song? Because I was doing at the start of this thing, Davey. I'll pull the lyrics up. I'll start singing the step-by-step song if you want.
Honestly,
TGIF.
That got me so much into the show. We were just singing right before Robbie came on. But for his sake and the listener's sake, we'll leave that out.
All right, so what else we got? What else is going on, Robbie?
Last ticket here tonight, Taylor Hall, Davey, former Devil. I have to ask about him now. This, you have to think, Bob and Dave, this would have been leading the program a few years ago if Taylor Hall was a UFA after 2017-18, after having 93 points with the Devils. It seems like now he's almost like a second-tier free agent, at least the way that we're talking about prioritizing goalie and defense right now. So what do you make of this Taylor Hall situation, Davey? It looks like Arizona's going to have to make a lot of moving parts to even consider re-signing him. I'm not seeing that from their group there. So do you think there's a good fit for him to potentially bounce back to that form that we saw in 2017-18? Or are you kind of writing this off as a, hey, that was lightning in a bottle. It ain't happening.
It can happen. I mean, he's still like a point-per-game guy. There's definitely 0.0% chance he stays in Arizona. I mean, he pretty much made that clear. The owners, like, they pretty much said all of it except we're not re-signing him or I'm not staying here. You have to think where would be a good fit for him. People are saying, oh, you know, he should go back to Edmonton. But I was trying to think about this, and I'm saying, I don't really know. Yes, teams want him and need him, but like, where would he fit in on a team that there's not many teams that he wants to sign with that are have a chance to win the cup that can need him? I mean, he's not signing with Tampa Bay, Toronto, and like these teams don't have the money to sign him. And where else? Washington? I mean, where is this guy going to go? Like,
well, that would be. I'd get a Taylor Hall jersey. I wouldn't complain about that. I don't know where they're going to find the money for that though. I have to say, this just came into my head on the program. What about a team like the LA Kings, where they've got a lot of good young prospects? You know, they can get some of those guys in the lineup, but they can kind of shield them with Taylor Hall in the top six. I think that'd be a phenomenal fit. I think they're much closer to being back to the playoffs than a lot of people give them credit for. And I think Taylor Hall might like that kind of star market, something out west there. But, Davey, I have to be completely transparent with you. I cannot see many good fits here. It might be like an L.A. Buffalo just seems like that would be a total nail in the coffin for his career. I hate to be dramatic. I hate to throw theatrics around here lightly, but I just don't see that being a solid fit for that player. I mean, Jack Eichel, Taylor Hall sounds intriguing, but Buffalo has this bad energy right now. So I think something like LA, maybe a little bit off the cuff that people wouldn't expect, might be a better fit for him.
The only thing about LA is he says, you know, he's at the point in his career, 10 years, he's been to the playoffs twice. He wants to win a cup. The Kings aren't winning a cup in the next 2 or 3 years, but maybe somehow he goes to the Florida Panthers. I mean, there we saw how well they played. I mean, it seemed like they could be only a couple of years away.
No. We did not see how well they played. They played horribly. Okay. And this is a team that we've been cherry picking to finally break through for the past 3 seasons. And every single year, they're ducking out early. They're missing the playoffs with guys scoring 90 points a season for them. So Taylor Hall in a Florida Panthers sweater, would it be a regular season fantasy gem? Yes. Would it make a difference beyond that? I don't think so.
Tough. I mean, Bobby, what do you think? Where is he going to go? We don't know.
I don't know. Taylor Hall, I'm terrible with trying to speculate. How about the Islanders? The Islanders wanted that, you know, Panarin, and they went to go pay him, and they couldn't get it done because the Rangers swooped in. They need a playmaker, you know, legit game-breaking goal scorer. So maybe Lou Lamb, I don't know.
I was going to say Montreal or Colorado is two long shots as well. But when you just said the Islanders, that does seem like a good fit. And I feel like Lou Lamoriello's a guy that'll find a way to maximize a player like Taylor Hall. Barry Trotz, look no further. You can get him playing two ways. Bob, that would be really good for the Islanders. If they're serious about staying contention in the Metro Division, where we see the Rangers getting really good, we see Flyers now probably making noise every year. Washington's going to be on the downtrend, but they'll still be around for the next few seasons. Pittsburgh, I think that might be it for Pittsburgh after what we've seen rumored the past few days. If anything like that continues to happen. But yeah, Metro is looking good. Carolina even has traction. So I'd love to see Taylor Hall, and that would definitely be the best division in hockey if that happens.
He's only two wins away from the cup final, the Islanders were, and you're right. He's be the offensive player they need, and hey, he's in back in New York. It's a star market, so he's got that going. So that's not a bad idea.
All right, I'm glad I came up with something there. I mean, I was, you know, just trying to dig. We'll see what happens. I'm a big fan of Lamoriello. They're opening up the new arena, right? They have that coming down the pipe. They're right on the cusp here. They need a game breaker. I like it.
They get him for way cheaper, Bob, than they would have got Panarin for. It makes Lou Lamoriello look like a genius again, right? I mean, it's a no-brainer if it works out.
Davey, text Brian Kampf and see what he thinks about this as the guy who covers the Islanders. And then let's wrap it up, folks.
Yeah, so looking forward to a back-to-back here Friday and Saturday. Hopefully it's not our last program covering some odds and covering some DFS picks from the Stanley Cup Final, but either way, it's been fun, gentlemen. You can catch us on Twitter. I'm at NHL Reese. Bobby's at Aircheck. Davey is at David Satriano, a.k.a. Goalie Master. So hit us up there with any last-minute questions.
Are we allowed to place bets on other props out about what the injury is for Stamkos?
Davey, I'll pull it up. Let's see. I'll pull it up. Spleen is the longest of long shots, so I don't think you're going to win that one. Thanks for listening, everyone. We appreciate it. And Davey, thanks for pulling the levers on the goalie carousel with Carnival Davey. That's big time. Thanks for joining us. Take care, folks.